kind of a three-parter. This morning we're going to call this superficial worship. Superficial worship. God's looking for people who would worship Him in spirit and in truth, and worship Him with their whole heart, and worship Him sincerely, worship Him without hidden agendas or hidden sin. God's looking for somebody that's really pure of heart to worship Him, press on through the stuff, the clutter, and just worship Him. Get past the hurt and the pain and worship Him. And so I'm not up here to make anybody mad. That's not my goal in life, is to preach sermons that make people mad. It's a fact of life. Every now and then, pastors and preachers preach a sermon that makes somebody mad. Just the way it is. But I've learned this. Normally, when you make somebody angry at you, they're not angry at you. They get angry at God. Because if you're preaching the Word, now if you get off the Word, it's different. But if you're preaching the Word, they can't be angry at the messenger's just that person they can see. But really, they're angry at God. Because it's God's Word. And so, does that mean it doesn't hurt me? No, that doesn't mean that at all. Because I'm human too. So, I don't want you to be angry at me. You know, I don't like that. I want you to like me. But it's a sad fact, not everybody will. So, let's just preach the Word this morning. I'll do my best to bring you what I feel like the Lord needs us to have. When I say needs us, I mean just that, us. Not you, but us, all of us. Went home here recently, and my wife walked in the door and said, "Well, got yourself today, didn't you?" So I understand it. Well, I recognize her not, she does. I get myself every now and then. Actually, pretty often, I need what I preach. So it's not like I'm up picking out stuff that you need. I'm trying to find out what God says we all need. And then it bites me too. Rats. That's just the way it is. We all need the Word. Amen. Isaiah, the first chapter today, is where we're going to go. We're going to read the 10th through the 20th verse. And we're going to talk about superficial worship for just a few minutes. Once again, we're glad you're here. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. And let's read. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, to bring no more futile sacrifices? Incense is an abomination to me, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bring ourselves, we present ourselves to you today. We ask, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart, open our ears to understand. Help this messenger, Lord, today presented in a way that would please you and would be beneficial to the hearer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I talk about super worship, superficial worship, well, first, we need to know that God doesn't like it. He just don't like it. He wants us to be sincere. He also wants us to cleanse our hands and our hearts. When you read this and we begin to hear this, it says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah has already been destroyed. Okay, they've been destroyed way back yonder. Remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham and Lot. Lot was delivered from Sodom. So what God is doing here, he is writing, this has been written to Judah and Jerusalem. And God is calling them like as if they were Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the way you worship. Yes, you're bringing me all the sacrifices. You are following all the rules. But your heart's not right. I observe iniquity. I observe sin. You see, we can come to church and we can raise our hands and we can sing these songs of Zion and we can put on appearances. We put on a facade and we act like we're all that. When God says, I look past all that and I look at your heart. Now, where is your heart? I want a sincere heart. I don't care about all these things you're doing. The sacrifices and the young bulls and the burnt offerings and coming to the certain times of year you're gathering in. You know, all the Jewish men were required 3 times a year to come into Jerusalem and worship God. He said, I don't care about that as much as I do. Are you doing it with the right attitude, with the right heart, with a pure heart, with clean hands? Are you doing all the things you're supposed to be doing in the meantime before you get here to worship? See, worshiping of God's more than just showing up on Sunday. It's more than just singing the songs when we're here together. It's an attitude when you're out there in the world every day. Are you a worshiper and server of God? God wants us to be that, see? So why do you come to God? So he can give you something? Or so you can give him something? See, a lot of people come to church because I need another blessing, so I'm going to go to church. Well, we all need another good blessing. We can all use the blessing. There's nothing wrong with wanting and needing a blessing. However, when that's your only purpose, it's just to come to God for another blessing, and you're not worshiping, you're not serving, you're just always wanting to get, then God looks at that and says, something's wrong here. I am God. Yes, I want to bless my people, and yes, I want to raise them up, and yeah, I want to give them some good life here, but I want them to worship me in sincerity. I want them to purge their hearts. We should come to church to worship God so that we can give to him the glory that's due his name, the worship that he deserves. We get past ourselves. And I want to guarantee if you get past yourself and begin to serve God and worship God the right way, God will meet your need. God will lift you up. God will bless you. But if you keep doing it your way, you're going to keep getting what you've got and you're going to always be down in the dumps. You're always going to be wondering where God's at. Always wondering, why is this happening to me? You're never going to have any joy. You'll never have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Why is it? Because you haven't learned to worship God for who God is, not for what God can give. Always wanting something from God. Well, I serve a loving Savior and a loving God, and I won't deny that he blesses me beyond measure. But there are times in my life I don't know where he's at. There's times I wonder if he's anywhere around. But I still worship him. I shake myself, say, Dennis Stone, God's still God. If you never make that payment, God's still God. If you never have another new car, God's still God. If your house burns down, God's still God. If you die of cancer, God's still God. And I'll still worship Him. Because He's God. And so people sometimes we want to just see what we can get. So He says, stop coming to me in vain worship. Don't come to me in vain worship. He wants us to really worship Him. He says this in verse 15 of this chapter. He says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, and when you make your prayers, I will not hear, because your hands are full of blood. Huh? Yeah, God wants us to be sincere. Says, I'm not going to hear you. I'm tired of your vain stuff. I'm tired of your lies. I'm tired of you pretending to worship me. I expect you to really worship me. And when you're going to worship me that way, superficially and in vain, I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to ignore you. How many want God to ignore you today? No, nobody wants God to ignore them. But yet we set into motion things that causes God to ignore us. Because we don't worship Him properly. Woo, goodness. Psalm 66, verse 18 says this. If I regard, this is God speaking. In fact, the psalmist was writing this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The psalmist said, if I know there's sin in my heart, there's iniquity in my heart, I know the Lord won't hear me. You know what happens? Many of us know we have sin in our life. We know we have a hidden agenda. We know we're not serving God the way we ought to. And yet we come to Him expecting Him to do something marvelous on our behalf. And yet we know He's not going to, because we know we're not right. We know we're putting on a show. We know we're just trying to fool those around us, but we know we can't fool God. But yet we go through these motions, and somebody says, well, why didn't God do that? Oh, I just don't know. I guess I'm just not blessed. But you know you have iniquity. You know you're not right. This psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. God said the same things. I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Yea, and when you make your prayers, I will not hear. That's something to think about, isn't it? I'll give you something else to think about here. In about 2 weeks, I'm going on vacation. So y'all be free from me for at least one Sunday. Does that make you feel better about this now? I'm just trying to give you some hope in the midst of this gloom. God is God. He expects us to worship Him correctly. Look at, I didn't mark my scriptures. It makes it harder for me to get to them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Robbie, do you have it? Put it on the wall, son, so I can read it off the wall. There we go. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. When is that? When you are doing wrong and know you're doing wrong and you continue to do wrong, then God says, you can call on me, I'll not answer. You can seek me even early, but you won't find me. Why? Because there's iniquity in your heart. Because you're serving me in vain. Because you're worshiping me in vain. Because your worship is superficial. God wants us to worship Him with all of our heart. Get out the ugly stuff. Get out the ugly stuff. I got to hurry up because I got a lot of scripture I need to go through today that hopefully will help you. So Isaiah 1:13, if you back up, it says, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You see, we need to not let church become a sinful meeting with us. Well, we come and yet there's sin and regarded in our heart by God. We come and we worship Him, but yet we're not really worshiping Him. You see, God is looking at your heart. And God looks at the inside of a man. He cares more about that than He does how well you dress today. How often you raised your hands today, whether you ran the aisle today, whether you even sang a song today, whether you're even here today, and some of you are here but you're not here, I understand that, or you've already tuned me out, I know that, but that's immaterial. The thing is, God says when these things are in your heart, I don't like it. I'm not listening to it. I'm a little bit weary with it. I'm a little bit tired of it. I'm tired of your motives being wrong. I'm tired of your motives being on the lust of the flesh instead of on a true love for me. A lot of us are just so caught up and so in love with the world, we can't really worship God. We don't really love God. We want everything that God has to offer, but we don't want to offer ourselves to Him. God wants us to offer ourselves. He's tired of just superficial stuff. Tired of some more hand raising, a little bit of hand clapping, a song. He wants all of you. All of you. You see, we need to have a real heart for God, not just a religious facade. Religious facade would be somebody that just really looks like they love God and act like they love God, but really on the inside they are full of dead man's bones. They are full of ugliness. They stink. They don't love any. They don't. I got some more scripture to go with that in just a little while. But they don't love people. God talked about here. If you get down, He says, "I'm tired of the goats and the bulls and all that stuff." He says, verse 16. He says, "Wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away the evil things you're doing, the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." He names off some things we should do as Christians. He says, you're not doing these simple things that would show that you really love me and that you're really in tune with me and you're really on fire for me, but yet you come to church and you give me this, some more fire, and you burn a little more incense, and you put another bull on the sacrificial fire, and I'm a little bit tired of it. I know I set that in order back in, you know, and I told Moses how we was going to worship and how these things to do. He said, I'm just a little bit weary of it. Because He wants us to worship Him sincerely. He's tired of superficial worship. God judges not only as our outwardly pious acts, but more importantly, the attitude of our heart. He looks at your heart. I've went over that 3 or 4 times already. He's looking at the heart. Where is your heart today? Now, as a pastor, I have to guard my heart too. There's nothing I'm telling you that I don't have to do also. Because I'm pastor called to preach doesn't make me all of a sudden perfect. So I have to work on the same things you work on a daily basis. We all do. We're in this together. It's not me against you or me and God against you or you against me. We're all in this together to live for God, to do it right, to build His kingdom, to encourage one another, to have joy and peace. We're all in this together. You see, in John 12, verse 42, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and He talked to them. You know, He's always after them guys because they were full of dead man's bones, you know, and they had pious, superficial worship. Didn't know the first thing really about worship, but He'd tell them so and call them dead man, hypocrites and whited sepulchers full of dead man's bones. And how would you like to be chief priest that year? And He walks up to you and say, Caiaphas, you're just a hypocrite. Well, he told them a few things and they'd slap him and said, you don't talk to the high priest like that. And Paul even said something one time. He said, well, I didn't know it was a high priest. I wouldn't have spoke disrespectfully, but still the truth's the truth. You're full of dead man's bones. But Jesus would tell them that, and so here's what He said in John 12:42, or what was said in the scripture. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they would be put out of the synagogue. You know what? And then the next verse says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Said many believed on Him, They understood he was the Messiah. They understood he had the words of life. They believed on him, but they were afraid of what men would do to them. They did not wish to lose their position of authority and prestige. So instead of repenting and following Christ, they hung on to their old ways. And guess what? They lost out. See, superficial worship loves the praise of man, but not the praise of God. If we have a true heart of praise for God, he'll honor you. He will honor you. John 12:26, Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." We need to get past superficial worship. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll serve me. So what's that mean, Pastor? That means if you're coming to church just for another blessing and your heart's not right, God can't. You're not serving God, so God can't use you, so you're not getting the blessing. Basically, that in a nutshell, you're not getting the blessing because you're serving him for a wrong purpose. You're not serving him with all your heart. So if that leads on to this, you're not doing the things you're supposed to do. We'll get to Romans in just a minute. Romans, the 12th chapter, in just a minute. Isaiah 1:19 says this. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat of the land. You shall eat the good of the land if you're willing and obedient. Not just willing, but obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God makes that plain. You go back to 1 Samuel, I believe it's 24th chapter, somewhere in there, or maybe not quite that far back, and you'll read about Saul. You'll read how he offered sacrifice, but his heart was wrong. You'll see that God expects us to have our heart right. Isaiah 1:16, in our scripture reading today, it says this, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." God's just simply giving us warning and giving us opportunity to stop what we're doing, turn around, make a change, and serve God so that you can have the blessing, so that you can move forward in him, so that your worship will not be superficial. So if you want to avoid superficial worship, that's what you do. You wash yourself. In other words, you repent. You make yourself clean. You put away the evil. You cease to do it. Romans 12:9. Let's read that. Romans 12:9. And I hope that's the right place, but we'll find out shortly. Romans 12:9 says, and I'm not there yet. Here we go. "Let love be without hypocrisy." Now, Paul was writing a scripture here about the gifts of the Spirit and how to, and the very first chapter, of course, verses, you know, present your body, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? That's what he tells us to do. Then he says, these are some things we must do. If you want to accept the cleansing offered by God, a cleansing heart results in true repentance. And if you've truly repented and you've come to God, you've reasoned with him, your sins that were scarlet, they've become white as snow, they were red like Clemson, they're now like wool. Here's some things that will be evident in your life. And your worship won't be superficial because you're doing what God asks you to do. So when you come and lift your hands, or you come sing the songs, or you come to a worship service, God sees it, he accepts it, he blesses it. But these things would be some of the things that would be evident in your life. Right here, it says, "Let your love be without hypocrisy." In other words, you're true. Your love is true. You love everybody. You're not faking it. It's pure. It's sincere. It's without self-centeredness. That's love without hypocrisy. It's not self-centered. We used to sing a song. We still sing it. Give me the old time religion. You know, it makes me love everybody. Does it not? When you really get saved and you really begin to serve God, you love everybody. You may not agree with everybody, but you love everybody. You're not self-centered. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about others. True love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Read about real love and what love really does. I'm not going to read it today. But let your love be without hypocrisy. Then you abhor what's evil. You don't like evil. You don't give place to evil. You do not like evil. You abhor evil. And you cling to what is good. So you love properly. You don't like evil. You cling to what is good. We do opposite of that oftentimes. We don't love properly. We dislike evil. Just seems that way sometimes. And we push away, instead of clinging to good, we push it away. But yet we come to church and say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. You know, we got our eyes closed and we'll open them and look around. Anybody watching me? Anybody see my hands up? Hey, I'm worshiping God. I love you, Lord. Look at them over there. I can't believe they're even in church today dressed like that. I love you, Jesus. Come on now. You know how it is. You punch your partner, someone next to you. I won't say partner. That's a bad word anymore, isn't it? Taking all the good words and making them evil. You punch that one next to you. Say, can you believe her? She's at church today. She's got 4 kids out of wedlock. Can you imagine them being here? They got their hands up. And I love you, Lord. Come on, you getting the picture? Come on now. Can't believe. Can you believe what they do? I know what they do. They may be a baby Christian. It ain't none of your business what they do. My problem's with those that's been in church for 40, 50 years and they're still doing this stuff. Still living ungodly. Still clinging to bad. Still clinging to evil and pushing away that which is good. And he says, be kindly affectionate one to another. We're to treat each other correctly. We're to love one another and treat each other with affection. Well, I know some of us like me are a little bit harder to treat with affection, but try it anyway. If you can love me, you can love anybody. You can treat me good, you can treat anybody good. I know that. There's some people are harder to like than others. I understand that. We just don't click sometimes, but the Bible doesn't make any difference in that. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. We could take that a step further. You ought to treat your spouse right. You ought to treat your children right. If they're trying to live for God, you ought to give preference and honor to them. Don't push them away. Don't be one thing at church and go home and be something else. God don't like that. And I'm going to tell you, he's paying attention to it too. It says, be in honor, giving preference in verse 11, not lagging in diligence. You see, we're to be devoted to one another. And it's not just based on personal attraction or desirability. And when we do that as believers, the world recognizes that we're believers when we prefer one another and don't give preference. And it says, and he said, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're to be fervent in the spirit. In other words, your spirit, man, ought to be boiling over. You ought to be on fire for God. Come on now, you ought to be on fire for God. Fervent in the spirit, producing productive energy, but not necessarily going out of control. But you produce energy because you are productive in the spirit. You are producing energy in the spirit. People, are you fervent in the spirit? Rejoicing in hope. How many people know Christians that have no hope? Seem like they're down in the dumps all the time. Never have a good word to say. Never anything going good. I tell you, we all have bad days and we all have things in our life that we just assume never happened. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have bad days in this Christian walk. You're going to have bad days in your life. There's going to be days nothing goes right for you. There's going to be other days everything seems to be okay. The Bible says don't worry about that. You are to understand that you rejoice in hope. You are patient in tribulation. You continue steadfast in prayer. That's what God says do if you want to be a true worshiper. You are fervent. You serve the Lord. You rejoice in hope. You're patient in tribulation. You continue steadfast in prayer. You distribute to the needs of the saints. You are given to hospitality. You bless those that persecute you. Then when you come to the house of God and you raise your hands and worship God, or you're just there in reverence before God, not everybody worships the same way, so we understand that, but you're worshiping the Lord, God looks at that, He says, I can honor that, I can bless that, I will move within that, I'm going to do what they need because of that, because they are doing all the other things that I require of them. They're doing their best to live for me. Will you measure up every day? Probably not. But you're to try. Now, we're not saved by works. I understand that. It's by grace through faith. I understand that. Okay? I understand that. Now, I'm not trying to get you into a works-based relationship with God. But when you get saved, God expects something out of you. He expects you to live for Him. He expects you to obey His Word. So I've never read that before. Well, I'll tell you what. Can I just say this? This is my personal opinion. It's hard for me to believe that you're a Christian and you've never read the New Testament. And if you haven't read at least the New Testament in your Christian walk, there's probably a problem. Come on now. And you say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, I do. My goodness, that's the instructions in righteousness is in the Bible. Instructions in godliness is in the Bible. No wonder you can't live for God if you never read it, but it's still no excuse. I gave you the statistic last week. How many 80-something% of all American homes have Bibles in them. Now, I bet you if I would poll you guys, everybody in here has a Bible in your home. I probably got 15, 20 Bibles. Every time a new version comes out, I go buy it. I'm a collector. Can't read all of them. So I pick out the one I'm reading through the English Standard right now. It's the one I'm reading through this year. God expects you to live for Him. And He gives you all the tools you need to do it. Every tool you need. This goes on. He says, bless them who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now you read those scriptures in Romans and you tell me you can't do them. There is nothing there that's too hard. Nothing there that shouldn't already be put in practice by all practicing Christians. But yet there's people that do not practice even the simplest part of the Word of God. But yet they'll come and expect another good blessing. Expect everybody to pat them on the back. Oh, you're here today. Oh, and aren't we blessed? Well, yeah, we're blessed when you're here, and we love for you to be here. My goodness. I mean, think how many would be here if you weren't here. Nobody. I tried preaching just my family before. It ain't no fun. I did that 3 weeks in a row. They didn't like it either. That's right. Was it 3 weeks or 4 weeks? Seemed like forever. Then I had two people come. Preached an hour to them. I was so loaded up. They didn't come back. Well, they finally came back after about 10 years. They showed up. Then they came back here just a few months ago. They came. visited with us again. They come in and out every once in a while, but they didn't stay. I preached about, I forget what I preached. I think I preached, I can't remember right now. God gives you the tools you need to live for Him. He gives you the instructions how to, what to do before you come to worship to avoid superficial worship. Basic Christianity 101. This is what you do to live for God, to receive the blessing, and to receive His honor when you worship Him. Worship is not about you, it's about Him. But yet He says in our scripture today, I'm tired of your multitude of sacrifices. What purpose is it? I am full of your offering of rams and the fat of your fed beast. I delight not in the blood of the bulls or the lambs or the goats. Said, I'm tired of superficial worship. So what can we do? Well, first off, God's not going to wait forever. One of these days, Jesus is coming. But what can you do? Well, God stands ready to forgive. He stands ready. But if you come to Him in a wrong attitude, not wanting to give up your sin, it won't work, what I'm about to tell you. And you won't be able to be used if you continue in superficial worship. God just can't. You know, He just can't. If you're in superficial worship, what's happened, your spiritual eyes are still longing for what's in the world. You just want what's out there, and you come and you're still longing for what's out there and still doing what's out there, but yet you come and you won't. Kind of wanting it both ways, you know. I used to, and I've talked about being straddle of a fence. Have you ever tried to climb over a barbed wire fence or climb through a real tight barbed wire fence? You can get in a bind real fast. If it's a real tight barbed wire fence and you're trying to go through it on your own, you can get in a bind because you can't quite get that wire low enough to get through there. And you'll get tangled up. Sort of like my nephew one time, they was playing, Denny and him was playing flashlight tag on a farm. And Denny knew where all the fences were, but Dominic didn't. My nephew, Dominic, isn't that a good name for, what's a good name for somebody from Detroit? And well, it is. His name's Dominic. It's a good name for Dominic. And they were playing flashlight tag, and they headed off down east of the barn and down this little hill, and Denny knew the fence was coming up. And he finally hollered at him. Of course, Dominic wasn't going to stop because he knew if he stopped, Denny was going to tag him with the flashlight, and, you know. And then he hollered, Dominic, stop! He just kept going. Pretty soon, wasn't just a little bit, a few steps, then he heard him. Wham! You know, you imagine the sound of a barbed wire fence, a kid about 6 foot tall running straight into it. It didn't feel good. That's kind of how we are. God's saying, stop. Stop. You're about to get in trouble. It's not going to feel good. It's going to hurt. He just wants you to come to Him. He says, come to me, all you laden and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Come take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Jesus is calling for us to come home. God's saying, come to me. If you read the scripture today, He says in Isaiah 1:28, well, this is a scripture. It says, here's what I want to tell you before I give you the scripture. It says, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. God wants us to come to Him. If you go back to Isaiah, the first chapter, let me turn over. There was a scripture there I wanted to read to you. Here it is, just towards the end of that scripture. Verse 18. This is what God says. If you're a superficial worshiper today, here's what He's saying. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what's he saying? I don't like your worship. And I'm not saying all of you are bad people. I'm not saying all of you are worshiping bad. I'm not even sure any of you are. Okay? It's not like I'm up here passing judgment. I'm not. I'm just preaching what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. And if you're not doing this, it still helps you because you know I can't do it. I gotta stay right. But if you're a person and you've been worshiping shallow, superficial, you regard iniquity in your heart and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, this is what God says. Let's reason together. What he says, if you'll reason with me, I'll reason with you, I'll forgive you. If you'll repent, I'll forgive. That's what he means here in reason. Come, let us reason together. These are things I don't like, but here's the remedy. Here's the solution. Let's reason together. And although your sins are as scarlet, I'll wash you white as snow. And although they are red like crimson, shall be white like wool. If you'll just reason with me. Listen to my voice, the Lord said, the Bible says, God says, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll make you right. Wow. That's God. He tells us what we do wrong, and then he gives us opportunity to correct. Because he's a loving, caring God. What do you want to do with it? Stand with me. A loving, caring God. Heads bowed this morning.